Hi, I'm Ed Willett, and what follows is an interview with me on CFCR, Saskatoon's community radio station, conducted by Ian Goodwillie. The program is called Saskatoon Book Report. Unfortunately, I missed the first few minutes of the recording, but this is the bulk of the interview, talking about my new book, Terra Insegura, and all the other kinds of writing that I do. Enjoy. I always had that science interest, and I used to work at the Saskatchewan Science Center as the communications officer, and I wrote all the copy there. So that whole science thing, and that ties in with being a science fiction writer, too. Yeah. So the science fiction books, I mean the science books that I've written, my most recent one is called Disease Hunting Scientist. It's about a variety of scientists who work in epidemiology, okay. And not just for humans but for animals. So I have a scientist in there who's studying black band disease in coral, and one who swabs birds' bottoms in Alaska because he's studying the reservoir of avian influenza, all the types of bird flu that are up there, and keeping an eye out for the nasty bird flu that, you know, everybody's been worried about. And then the obvious ones, the level guys who work in level 4 in Winnipeg at the lab there, right. Go off for Ebola outbreak. So that's my most recent one. And I've done a number of science books for Inslow. And so that science thing does kind of tie into the science fiction thing as well. Yeah, so these are all interests of mine in that way. And at the same time, I would say that I can become absolutely interested in anything that I am hired to write about because I'm a full-time freelance writer. So I'm doing... The other book that I'm just sort of wrapping up is a history of the Saskatchewan Land Surveyors Association, which is similar to the one I did for the engineers.
Safe and Prosperous Future.
Yeah, right? Safe and Prosperous Future, 100 Years of Engineering and Geoscience Achievements in Saskatchewan.
Right.
Not my idea for a title, but anyway. My wife is an engineer, and she thought, boy, that really makes it sound kind of dull, doesn't it? But... As the review in the Leader Post said, it's more interesting than the title makes it sound. So now we don't know what the new one's going to be called. The surveyors sometimes refer to themselves as the world's second oldest profession, so that might be in the title somewhere, which might help. I don't know.
That would be an excellent title.
I think so, but it's not really up to me. So anyway, that's another thing. You know, and in that case, I had no interest in surveying, but I was hired, and once I get into something, I can usually I find everything interesting to a certain extent. And I found this really interesting, all this stuff I didn't know that I got to learn while I was writing the book. So it's like writing the science column. It's all this writing, all these things is my ongoing education project. So I'm learning something all the time. It's really a great career.
So how do you make that into a career? Like we've talked to other writers. We've had other writers on who have talked about being freelancers and working in multiple genres at the same time, trying to find a niche for themselves and keep working there. How has that played out for you? Like, how did it? You started in journalism and sort of worked into other forms of writing from there.
Yeah, I was at the Weyburn Review when I came back from the States with my journalism degree and a reporter, photographer for 4 years. Then I was the news editor, and while I was there, because I had this interest in science, when I saw an ad is, you know, just in the Leader Post for looking for a communications officer for the Saskatchewan Science Center, which was just under construction then. And it specifically said they needed somebody to write exhibit copy, and I thought, well, that sounds interesting. So I applied, and I got the job, and I ended up writing all the exhibit copy. So I was there for 5 years. And then in 1993, because I graduated from university, I was just barely 20 when I got my degree, and I went straight to work. So I'd already been working for 13 years. Mm. I decided, well, you know, I always wanted to be a freelance writer. Let's see if we can make it work. And I quit. I just quit my job.
Wow.
The only thing I had for certain was, and this is that doing other things besides writing to, you know.
Right.
Because the other thing that I do, I'm a performer, an actor, and a singer. And I knew that if I quit, I had an offer to go on a 2-month school tour with Prairie Opera, which used to operate out of Saskatoon,
right.
And did these school tours every year. And so that would give me, and it paid, equity minimum, a reasonable amount. So I knew that I had 2 months of solid work coming up January and February when I quit my job in November. And I thought, well, that gives me, sounds a little, now that I know more about it, I think, what was I thinking? Yeah. But they said, oh, well, that gives me 2 months to dig up more work. So, but while I was doing that, you know, and I sent out, you know, I started to send out a lot of letters and stuff. While I was doing that, I got some work as a researcher on a wildlife-focused television program, which paid pretty nicely there. And then one thing led to another. The first couple of years, I had no books. It was all, I don't even remember what I did then. I mean, I had the science column, but it wasn't paying much. And somehow I managed for a couple of years there. And then I started selling these computer books, and that gave me a nice kernel of stuff. And then, you know, just kept putting out feelers. And as you accumulate more and more experience, it becomes easier and easier to get work. And pretty soon people start calling you out of the blue, if you're lucky. Just this week I had a phone call. I don't know if anything will come of it, but not expecting it at all. No, I guess it was an email, and then we talked on the phone, from a documentary producer who looking for possibly someone to be the on-camera host for a documentary about only children, and came across my website with my science columns on it, and I had written a science column about birth order, and then she saw that I did some acting and stuff too. And you know, it's just once you get out there and you start to do a lot of stuff, then people start to hear about you, and if you're lucky, you start to get people calling you up and offering you work. You still have to go out and get your own some too, but it's worked out. And then I made a really good career decision in 1997 when I married an engineer, so that was another really good choice for a freelance writer. Because the thing with freelance writing is that you can have months when you make lots and lots of money, yeah, and you have months when you make no money at all. And having somebody else in the family who has a steady income certainly makes it a lot.
Helps smooth it out a bit.
Yeah, a lot easier.
So you have this other career as a performer, as a singer. You performed in Beauty and the Beast here,
mm-hmm,
at Persephone. You performed with the Light Opera in Regina.
Mm-hmm.
How do these two... Like, I mean, you've described one way now that they complement each other with this documentary producer that's called you to talk to you about this. It's obviously, it was the both sides that complement each other that's made him interested in your work. But how overall have they worked together?
Well, the performing is very much a sideline that I haven't pursued it the way you would have to if you wanted to make it a career. And there's very good reason for that. I think I have been told, you know, certainly in the singing side with my voice, that I, you know, might have been able to go off and be in... do opera and that sort of thing if I pursued that. But my experiences in the theater world, I really enjoy doing the shows, but I really hate being away from home, especially since I have a young daughter and a wife.
Of course.
And if I had gotten into that earlier, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But basically right now, I don't like that you're off for 6 months living in somebody's basement while you do a show. I mean, 6 weeks, and then... Well, 6 months if it's a really long-running show.
Oh, yeah.
Although the shows that run that long probably put you up somewhere nicer than somebody's basement.
Well, you'd hope.
But I just don't really like the lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the shows that I do, and it's just right for about 6 weeks. By the time I get into any of that, I'm really anxious to get back to my desk and my typewriter and my, well, not typewriter anymore, but computer. It started in the typewriter when I was young. Now, you can't. One good thing about it, though, is that once you're up and running, like with Beauty and the Beast, and you have your show in the evening, you have all day. So I was doing quite a bit of, well, theoretically, I was doing quite a bit of work while the show was going on. I could have done more. There's also a certain tendency to sleep in late, and, you know, just because you are working hard at night when you're doing the show. But so you can put those two things together, and performing does tend to give you quite a bit of downtime when you can also work on other things. So when it does come up, it complements very nicely.
Let's talk about the Aurora Award nomination.
Okay.
For Marcy Garrow. Tell us about the Auroras.
Well, the Auroras are the top Canadian award for written science fiction and fantasy. Anybody who's a Canadian citizen or resident, I don't think you have to be a citizen, but you have to at least be a resident, can nominate for it. And then the ones that get the most nominations go into the ballot, and then there's a voting process. To vote, you have to be a member of the Canadian National Science Fiction Convention, which floats. It goes from... It's not actually a convention on its own. It gets attached to other conventions. So last year it was at Winnipeg at KeyCon.
Right.
And this year, the World Science Fiction Convention is in Montreal the first weekend in August. And so they're attached to that, and that's where the Auroras will be handed out. But you don't have to be a member of WorldCon, which is a... I don't know what it is now, because it goes up the closer you get to the convention, but it's at least a couple of $100 to become a member. To become a member of convention and vote, I think it's five. I know you only have to pay about a $5 voting fee if you want to vote. So that you do have to pay a fee, because they want people who are really interested in voting doing the voting. But it's not very much. And you can vote online for Marcia Guerrero or any of the other books that you like at prix-aurora-awards.ca. If you want to find out more about it, that's the Aurora Awards site. And you can see all the other books that are shortlisted. So I was very happy to make it onto the nomination form this year. And voting goes through July, and then in August we'll find out
who won.
Yeah, so I get to go to the banquet in Montreal, and you know.
When we were talking about the award nomination before the show, you said that you were pretty sure you knew all the people that were on the ballot with you.
Yeah. I think so. I can't remember the complete ballot off the top of my head, but Rob Sawyer has a collection on there. Doug Smith has a collection. Hayden Trenholm, who's a friend of mine, who used to live in Calgary, has his novel Defining Diana is on there. And is it Ursula Flug? Her last name is P-F-L-U-G, and I've never heard it pronounced. But anyway, I always say Flug, but that may not be the way she pronounces it, is on there. And I guess that's five. That's probably it. And I've met or know all of these people, so... It's not that big a science fiction community in Canada.
That's exactly what I was about to ask. Like, how close a community is it in Canada?
I think most people who write it, especially people who are writing it and getting it published, if they haven't necessarily met everybody, they're at least aware of the others. I am president, just as of last month, of SF Canada, which is the professional association of speculative fiction writers. And I don't actually like that term, speculative fiction. I always say science fiction and fantasy. Writers in Canada. We have about 130 members right now, I think. And that's not everybody. There are people who only belong to the CIFWA, Science Fiction Fantasy Writers Association of America, which is much, much bigger in the States. Right. I'm a member of both, but not everybody is. Some of the bigger name authors find that CIFWA is sufficient, and they don't worry about SF Canada. But we do have people who, anybody who has published professionally two short stories or a book, and that means basically you got paid for it as opposed to cranking it out on your printer and stapling it up and handing it out in the corner. It doesn't count. Is eligible to become a member. So there's about 130 people, and that's, I'm sure there are others out there who have never become a member, but that gives you an idea of just how small a group it is.
Right.
And as far as the group that are published by substantial publishers in the field, that's even smaller. So... it's pretty small group.
Right. How has being a member of that, or like how long have you been a member of that organization?
SF Canada?
Yeah.
Must be about 12 or 13 years now.
How has it affected your career, do you think?
It's really just a networking thing.
Yeah.
Like we have because it's such a far-flung organization, I doubt we will ever have an actual board meeting where we get together. We might do a conference call. More likely, we do our business online.
Right.
And there just isn't much business. The organization basically just exists to promote Canadian science fiction and fantasy writers. And we have a website. But the main thing for the individual member, aside from the being able to give me their news and I put it on a blog, is... The list server, which is a great way to, you know, interact with people you may not meet on a regular basis, and people can say, oh, I've got a new book coming out, or I'm doing a reading, or ask questions. There was a question today from someone on the list server trying to find out if there are any science fiction, fantasy, or horror novels that were based on the Epic of Gilgamesh. This is the sort of thing that pops up a lot on there, and we had two or three answers because, Robert Silverberg wrote a book called Gilgamesh, which... Yeah, it's about Gilgamesh. That was a fairly easy one to answer. But, you know, sometimes you'll get people asking, well, you know, I need to know something about world building. You know, what color would the sky be if there were these elements in the air? You know, things like that. Right. And there's, amazingly enough, we have people who can sometimes, if not answer, at least point people in the direction. So it's kind of a good networking thing. And membership is quite inexpensive. It's only $25 a year. So it's not a huge activist organization or anything like that. It's more just a way to network with other people who are writing in the field. Because when you're in science fiction fantasy, you don't always fit in with the literary community that's around you.
Right.
Saskatchewan Writers Guild is pretty good. But even you know, when I've been up for a Saskatchewan Book Award with my young adult fantasy Spirit Singer, which actually won, I was shocked that I had won, because it's so, the science fiction fantasy is quite different from what one anticipates is going to win those kind of literary awards. And it comes down to who the judges are, really. So people in our genre sometimes feel like we're a little ghettoized, so we cluster together even closer. And it's kind of self-inflicted in a way, and it's probably not fair to people who don't really feel negatively about science fiction fantasy so much as they never think about it, or it's just not their thing. But it is still nice to get together with people who understand why you write this crazy stuff.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's looking to get started as a science fiction, as a fantasy writer, or as a speculative fiction writer?
Oh, I'd say don't do it. I don't need the competition. In a way, it's easier than ever, or better than ever, because although the print magazines are dying, there are more and more online paying online markets, many of which are paying what CIFWA considers pro rates. I don't remember what that is for right now, but it's... I just saw the figure. I think it's about 17 pro-paying markets, and the bulk of those are now online as opposed to being print markets. So there are more places to sell your fiction. So that's good. It's probably harder to get noticed because there's so much stuff online now.
Ed, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. We're out of time already.
It goes quickly. And that brings us to the end of today's show. I'd like to thank Ed Willett for joining us and talking today about the world of science fiction writing. If you are an author, publisher, or organization looking to get information about your work out to the people of Saskatoon, please feel free to contact me at saskatoonbookreport@gmail.com. And if you are an individual looking for information on anything you've heard here today or on a previous show, please feel free to contact me at the same email address, saskatoonbookreport@gmail.com. And like everything else in life, you can also find the Book Report on Facebook. You have been listening to the Saskatoon Book Report with Ian Goodwillie on CFCR 90.5. Thank you, and good listening.